So over the years, my wife, Kara, and I have dabbled in various forms of art, and several of us have had the opportunity to talk about that, from photography to colored pencils to watercolors, and the list goes on. But there's another art form that we've been attempting these last several years, especially as we become husband and wife, and that's just this, the art of hospitality. How many of you are practicing the art of hospitality at this moment, or maybe over the years? There's a certain art form to it, isn't there? I mean, you think about it, you have people coming over, whether it's 2 or 20, and there's stuff you just gotta do. My question to you is this: how oftentimes do you land in one of these buckets or these focus areas? How many times have you wrestled with, well, what are we gonna feed them? You wrestled with that before, right? Some of you are like, okay, this person, they eat like a bird, this person, okay, we gotta break the piggy bank, they're coming, right? Full appetite, right? All 6 kids and then some. Or how about this, cleaning and repairs? How many, we just can't have people over yet. We got to clean this, we got to put that, you got to do that. And we got to do this, 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 and this. How many of you have wrestled with that before in your attempt to practice the art of hospitality? Isn't it amazing? There's always something that has to be cleaned. Even after you've cleaned the next day, what is there to do? Clean something up. Especially if you have kids, a baby, a dog, you know it. Or how about this? Furniture and amenities. Oh, this arrangement just won't work, right? We got to put the chairs there. We got to put the table there. That ain't working for me. We got to move that somewhere else. I don't know where, but it can't be here. How many of you wrestled with that before? The layout in your house, even if it's an outdoor patio, right? Patio with a table and chairs, it just ain't working. We have to do something different. We've been there, and maybe you have too, especially as you've maybe expanded your family or expanded your house or your home amenities and so on. It always seems that there's something to do. There's never a shortage of things to do, especially when you have people coming over. But my question to you this morning is this. How would you offer hospitality to Jesus? How would you begin to prepare for Jesus coming to your house today? Would your mind go to one of these 3 things on the screen up front? We got to get the right food, right? Jesus has been out there. He's probably been walking a lot. It is hot in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We got to give him something cool and refreshing to drink. Or is it this? The place just isn't clean enough for Jesus. I mean, after all, it's Jesus. It's got to be spotless. Or do we have the right furniture for him? I mean, after all, he deserves our best, right? That sofa with the stain on it, that's got to go. That chair with the wobbly legs, we would hate for him to sit down and all of a sudden that leg go out. We got to focus on furniture. How often would our mind go to these buckets, these to-do list areas? Food, drink, cleaning, repairs, furniture, amenities, and so on. But my question to you this morning is this, because it's a question that's been teased out for us in Scripture this morning from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And the question is this: how do you show hospitality to Jesus? Where do you start? Thanks be to God, he gives us an answer this morning. Luke chapter 10, this is what we hear. Let me share it with you once again. If you'd like to follow along, I encourage you to follow along on the screens up front or in your worship bulletin as you may have it. But this is what Luke shares with us. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Can you resonate with that? Can you relate to that? You got people coming over and one of you watching the clock and the other one's like, okay, we're ready. But then somebody else in the house says, no, 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 we're not ready. We're not ready yet. Have you been there? We've been there. But how would you respond if the person coming to your house today is Jesus Christ? So here's what Martha's concerned with. It's the to-do list. And let's be honest, we all have them. And even if you don't resonate with those 3 areas on the screens up front this morning, there's probably areas that you are focused on and that you do wrestle with, especially when you got people coming over. But once again, I'm going to ask you the question again because it's too important to miss this morning. How do you act and how do you prepare when your guest is Jesus Christ? For Martha, the list just, it seems to have no end. And everywhere someone else wants to put a period, what does she want to put? A comma. We're not done yet. We have this to do. Okay, we're done with that. We got one more. We got two more. Martha is concerned with many things. And oftentimes when your heart and your mind are full of many things, you're not in a place of peace. Do you resonate with that? How many of you at some point in your life are like, oh, I got 50 things to do. I am so peaceful right now. Oh, I am the hallmark image of peace. Is that you? Probably not. It wasn't Martha either. And this is how Martha feels about her sister Mary. If you were to go up to Martha and say, Martha, well, what is Mary concerned with? Martha's response would be this: Mary, don't get me started. She's all about fun in the sun. She's all about playing around, goofing around. We got all this stuff to do, and she ain't doing a thing. She'd rather sit there and just watch the clouds go by. You ever felt like that? I'm doing all the work, and person over here is doing nothing to help. You ever felt that way? Like you're carrying the weight of the whole world on your shoulders, like you feel like maybe you're the only one holding up the cross. And it feels like the other people maybe in your house or in your life are just not pulling their weight. Martha feels like this. The to-do list is just too long, and she needs some help. And so when she looks to her sister for that help, she sees someone who's just not doing what's supposed to be done in the moment. But look at Scripture once again. Hear these words. Luke 10:38-40. And this is what Martha does. She tries to rope somebody else into her case and to plead her case for her. And maybe you heard it a moment ago, but hear this once again. Martha came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, I don't know if I'd be so bold as to do that, but maybe in my own life I have. And maybe you have too. So-and-so over here isn't pulling their weight. Jesus, get them. Jesus, I'm tired of having to truck all this around by myself. I feel like the farmer who's in the endless field and I can't see the end of the row. Jesus, get them off the bench and get them in the field. You ever felt that way? Here's what Martha's trying to do. And maybe we know this. Martha wants Jesus to endorse whose standards? Martha's. Martha's got a metric of success, and Mary just ain't cutting it. So she pulls Jesus into her standards and into her metrics, and she says, Jesus, take my standards and distribute them accordingly. Have you been there this week? Like someone's just not pulling their weight, dropping the ball, missed the mark, didn't cross the T, certainly didn't dot the I. Maybe we can relate to these moments. And maybe, just maybe, in the midst of our anxiety and our stress and the place that's just void of peace, maybe we've tried to pull Jesus into our situation and we've said, Jesus, go get him. But then God's word comes to us through his Holy Spirit and says, is your way my way? Are you operating from my standards or from your own? Are you operating from the foundation of my word for you, which doesn't change? Or have you somehow taken a piece of worldly wisdom here, 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 and made a metric by which you are attempting to live your life? And then asking others to do the same. Do you get that? Look what Jesus says to Martha. And hear Jesus' words to you and to me this morning once again. Luke 10:41-42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So my question to you this morning is this. What is Mary concerned with? Jesus highlights it for her sister, who's up in arms and is certainly not in a place of peace. Jesus highlights something that's going on in Mary's life. What is it? It's too important to miss this morning. It's just this. Mary is doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. It's the exact thing we're doing today, putting ourselves before the feet of the Lord so that Jesus can first serve us. And I know that sounds totally backwards, but this is how it works with our Lord Jesus. And Mary understands this. For Mary, this is her belief. This is her faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. Mary believes that before she can go and attempt to serve anybody else, someone has to first serve her. Someone has to first speak into her heart and to shape her life, to ready her hands and her feet and her mouth and her heart before she can do anything else. And who is that person? Who is the servant of all? It's Jesus Christ. See, Mary knows by faith that before she can go and attempt to serve Jesus or lift a finger to do anything else, Jesus has to first penetrate her heart. And he has to do the same for Martha. We see this in Scripture, and this is nothing new. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 39, we see the situation with Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And boy, is she sick, and she's got a fever. How can you expect someone who is sick, and in this case, dying of fever, to get up and serve unless they are first served and brought back to health? And so this is what Jesus does. Jesus heals her, and do you know what she does immediately after being healed? She serves. Service from service. Last week, we talked about this with the parable of the Good Samaritan, and this lawyer, this religious lawyer, comes up to Jesus, and they have quite the theological discussion, and Jesus launches into this parable we know as the Good Samaritan. And at the end is this answer to the question of, who is my neighbor? And before this guy can go out and be a neighbor to anybody else, and this is for us today too, before we can go out and even attempt to be a neighbor to anybody else, you and I have to first be neighbored by somebody else who does for us we can never do for ourselves. And who is that? It's the neighbor of all neighbors, Jesus Christ. Just like with Simon Peter's mother-in-law, it's the same with this religious lawyer. He can't possibly do for others unless someone first does for him. And after God's word has reached his heart, he is in a place to be a neighbor, just like with you and me. Today, once again, we hear this. We can't serve until we've first been served by the Savior. And these are the questions that are oftentimes mixed and matched. I'd like to ask you to just pause for a moment and answer these in the quietness of your heart and your mind. In the home of Martha and Mary, who's the host? In the home of Martha and Mary, who's the guest? Martha makes the mistake of assuming that she's the host and Jesus is the guest. But in reality, Jesus is the host, who comes to be with his people to give them what they need. Because without what Jesus provides, we have nothing to give. Have you found that out for yourself this week? You're tired? Wristwatch is starting to look like a shackle? Clock on the wall, kind of pounding with every tick of the second hand? We find this in life. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Thanks be to God, he comes to us, and he's the host. Today, my question to you is this. Here in this place, and in your life as a Christ follower, who's the host and who's the guest? If you need a visual aid this morning, because I know some of us learn visually, then check this out. I ask you once again, who's the host and who's the guest? Today, as you leave, in your life, and from your seat, who's the host? Who's the guest? Today, may we be found in the same place as Mary, before the feet of our Lord Jesus. Because until we're served by the Savior, we can't give what we need to give. Let's pray.